This is the Technical Difficulties. We're playing Reverse Trivia. In front of me, I've got a stack of question cards. I'm going to read out the answers, and all these three have to do is guess the question. Chris Joel. Gary Brannan.
Gwapple me grape nuts.
And Matt Gray.
All right.
Hands above the table, please. Our first answer today is Shaggy.
What is the lava question? Lava.
Yes, which Shaggy is it? There's the question. Because even if you tell us the category, it will still be art and culture and entertainment, because they are both in the same category, aren't they?
The Shaggies I can think of are...
The many Shaggies, go on.
Mr. Lover Lover.
Correct.
The Mr. Ree Machine.
Yes. Oh, well done. Yeah, that was good.
I thought of that as I was saying it. And a style of dog?
Yes, and a style of story.
Oh, it's... Shaggy Dog Story, is that not the one where the guy is in the dog suit and clocks somebody?
That's the Shaggy D.A.
That's the Shaggy D.A.
Oh, yes. Sorry, it's the sequel. I'm out by a f***ing mile.
No, the D.A. is important because he's a district attorney.
Oh, yes. I know.
That's the joke, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's still just the sequel. I wasn't wrong.
Wait, is it? I just thought there was one of these.
No.
I thought it. I've only ever known the Shaggy. To be fair, why would you go any further than the Shaggy D.A.?
True.
For the bit where a man as a massive dog punches another man. Mm.
This sounds like Trigger Happy TV to me.
But in all of the shots,
chilly.
In all of the shots, it's a dog.
I've seen the clip. When he jumps out the window and slides down the window cleaning apparatus, I'm pretty sure that's a bloke again. I mean, I'm no expert.
Okay, I have no idea what it was, but I have seen a clip of the punching.
Chris, you are correct. I've never heard of the original. The original is from 1959. It's called The Shaggy Dog, and I think that is where that one comes from. The Shaggy D.A. was a sequel in 1976.
How long can you leave between sequels? That's quite something, isn't it?
This was Disney at the depth of their powers.
Well, it's at the same time as the computer wore tennis shoes as well.
It gets worse. There was a 2006 remake of it with Tim Allen as the Shaggy Dog. Yes, that. It's not that Shaggy.
And is it any of the other Shaggies?
It is
named by
one
Matt?
Of those two Shaggies, yes.
Is it Shaggy the singer?
Yes.
Is it because he was a Marine?
Good Shaggy fact. Excellent Shaggy fact. It's not that.
It's the question, who actually was it?
I was going to say, who wasn't it?
That is the correct song, but we're only about halfway to the question there. We are talking about It Wasn't Me.
Okay. Who did it on the kitchen counter and...
In the bathroom.
Yeah.
I've caught him on camera.
There's a hell of a jump in this question that I'm going to need to give you a hint for. It is that phrase, It Wasn't Me... is used in a very different profession and is known by Shaggy's name.
Is it a law thing?
It is a law thing.
Is it like Shaggy's defence?
Yes.
No way! Just saying it wasn't me.
Yep. In law, the defence of continually saying it wasn't me, despite evidence to the contrary, is named after which musician?
That is amazing. Excellent. Fact. I like
that's
that.
That's the Sycamore Gap tree case, isn't it? The defence was the Shaggy defence, which
what's
was
the Sycamore Gap?
You know the tree that got cut down on Hadrian's Wall?
No, carry on.
Sit out this question, then.
Do you know the tree that got cut down Hadrian's Wall?
I do.
He does. Because it was massive on the news for about 2 weeks.
When?
About a fortnight ago.
Oh.
Well,
right.
the tree got cut down about a year ago.
Right.
A very famous tree in the middle of Hadrian's Wall. I've been a tourist destination for a long time.
Right.
And I was cut down by someone who knew how to use a chainsaw.
So the two fellas got arrested for it and insisted it wasn't them. Basically, it was the Shaggy defence, it wasn't me. And I've never seen more of a Swedish-made penis extender prosecution case in my life, right, to quote Austin Powers.
Because thank you for providing the source of that. Someone had to.
They go, okay, well, it wasn't us. And they say, well, this is your car, isn't it? Yes. It does belong to you, doesn't it? Yes. Well, here's you on a security camera driving towards that tree. And here is you, about an hour and a half later, driving away from it. Still wasn't us. Is that your phone? Yes. On that phone is a video of two people cutting down a tree with a chainsaw. The GPS coordinates are the tree, and you sent it to your mate stood next to you. Still wasn't you? Still wasn't us. I can't use a chainsaw. Here's a picture of you with a chainsaw. And here's a picture of your car with a massive slice of tree wood in it, exactly the same size as Sycamore Gap, and to which he still insisted it wasn't them. I can only sympathise with their defence. He must have been sat there going, guys, just admit it. Right, there's Midsummer Murders cases, and there's often the straightest line.
So yes, the shaggy defence is when someone repeatedly says, it wasn't me, despite evidence to the contrary.
I thought a shaggy defence could also be when someone, someone's defence is just that it said, zoinks, ran away really quickly.
punches a guy, jumps out a window, runs down it.
And eats a really big sandwich.
Your next answer is the Suez Canal. What is the question?
If I was to give you two words, would I win?
Yes.
Okay, I'll stay quiet then.
Yes, it's really the other show I do where someone says, I know the answer immediately, and they drop out.
But oh, yes, it's not that show, is it?
It's not that show.
Oh, Ever Given.
Correct, yes.
Oh, I was going to go with, like, Egypt and France and Britain was going to be my two words.
Who likes drawing borders?
No, but France and that's the thing, is it? France and Britain owned plus the Suez Canal. They were the people that owned it, and at one point Suez was, like, one of the biggest British military bases on Earth. For guarding the canal traffic.
That's weird. That's not one of our countries.
No, but we did own the canal, hence the Suez Crisis.
It's the container ship that booped the side of the canal and had a little rest.
And swung its big ass out all the way around.
I 3D printed a version of that.
What scale?
1:1.
The Limehouse cut there is just absolutely blocked. Oh, that'd be a good joke.
That would have been a good joke.
4 years ago,
yeah.
Didn't another boat do that recently?
There was the container ship in Norway that nearly booped someone's house.
Yes, that was it. Yes,
as we record this,
isn't there a great story that like the guy was asleep as the container ship like booped his house, or you know,
that
jammed.
Is a technical navigational term.
But his neighbour was awake and was waving at the ship to tell them that they were about to hit that navigational obstacle called Norway.
I think I saw a thing saying the guy like woke up, you know, like rubs his eyes, opens the curtains, looks at the bottle.
It's got to finish it full again,
full actually horror movie jump scare. Like you could do it for comedy, but you could also do it. Oh, I'm just, like the mirror gag. Where it opens it.
No, he's got to miss it. He's got to not see it.
Yes.
Go to work, come home, and let's go. Whoa!
It's that thing where someone leaves a package on your front door rather than putting it through your letterbox or ringing your doorbell, but like a container ship.
Every delivering my container ship like that. We've put it in a safe place behind the bin.
Yes, the ship Ever Given blocked which waterway for 6 days in 2021? Some lovely notes on this. Does anyone know what went wrong?
Front fell off.
The front fell off.
It hit the side. We all know what went wrong.
Okay, yes. We don't have points anymore, but technically I would give you one for that.
Oh, good.
Negligence.
I mean, go one step back from why it hit the side. What was the... I mean,
it was the current, was it?
Yeah. Not? Was it too close to the side and it got sucked off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was actually strong winds, resulting in the loss of ability to steer the ship.
Well, was he just trying to do it outside the bridge so he didn't offend people?
Yeah, his grabby stick failed from him.
And also...
Cover it up with the horn. We can't hear it, but we can smell it, mate.
And there was also a mod for Microsoft Flight Simulator which added the ship.
Nice!
Our next answer, tapioca. What is the question?
Dancing, isn't it?
Get f***ed.
Tapioca.
That took me a few seconds. It's just that was a squelching sound.
Frog spawn.
Yeah.
It looks like frog spawn.
But you know, you've got there are better uses of it than the wet mush that you're used to from school dinners.
I never got it. I never had school dinners. I always had a packed lunch. So I got one bongo and a fake Orange Club.
Does anyone know what tapioca actually is?
It is a grain.
Is it?
Or like maybe it's a flour actually, but it's an ingredient.
Is it a starch?
That much, I'll give
it
you.
It's a starchy ingredient.
Starchy, isn't it?
Yes.
In the UK, it is well known from the desserty porridge, which is like a rice pudding, but made out of tapioca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's also used, I think, in bottom America quite often as a flour. And I've eaten it quite a bit because tapioca flour is used as an alternative to wheat flour and gluten-free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not the bubbles in bubble tea?
And that is the question we're looking for. It absolutely
is,
right.
Yes. It is the bubbles in bubble tea.
Yes. Does anyone know where that starch or flour comes from?
Korea.
Bottom America.
I'm looking more for a plant name.
Oh, Tapiocus plantus.
I'm just going to do the same word. Tapioca, yeah.
Cassava?
Yes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, the cassava plant, native to the top and top right regions of Brazil.
The top right of bottom America.
You are correct.
It's a root, isn't it, cassava?
It's a starchy root, a tuber. Yes. I knew the minute I said it.
This is not the hand action for a tuba.
No. It's, what is
that's
that?
That's a theremin.
You've invented a new instrument.
No, a tuba would be... Wouldn't
yeah,
it?
No, you. I don't know if you're holding a microphone or if you're just holding a mouthpiece there, and then there's something
very
going on.
Yeah,
and it's a good theremin. There's a 1950s UFO landing over there. Yes, the pearls in boba tea are traditionally made of tapioca. Mm-hmm. Our next answer is impasto. What is the question?
Where would you put pesto?
Put pesto in pasto.
Yeah.
It's an art thing.
Yes.
Is impasto. It's a kind of painting style, isn't it?
Ooh, yes.
Yes. It's where you lay it on quite thick in oil paint.
Yes.
Helena, I learned something working with you.
In which art technique is paint applied so thickly it stands out from the canvas?
That's it, because we've got artworks that are... We've got one lately that's like one that no one's seen for a long time, and it was rolled up, and we were talking about how it's affected the impasto as we unrolled it.
Wow.
Hell, I learned something.
It can also be applied to a lot of drag makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Can vouch.
Yep.
Real world experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you actually, like, feel physical layers there, or was it just...
Well, they got rid of my eyebrows using Pritt stick.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So... Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah.
Yes.
Did they lick the Pritt stick as well?
I can't remember.
Who licks what? Pritt stick?
Makeup artists.
Really?
You lick the Pritt stick, and then you Pritt stick your eyebrows down.
Why do you lick it? No, I mean...
No, Pritt stick's probably a bit thick as it comes, so you want something that flows a bit better.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Strikes me there's a business out there for someone selling pre-licked Pritt stick.
That's a prize from this show. Like, just find me a washed-up celebrity's name to go on the front of pre-licked Pritt stick, and that's the prize. Can anyone name any paintings that use impasto that are famous, other than Chris's face?
That are famous? I don't know about famous. I know the artist Hugh Miller makes a lot of oil that he kind of just squirts. He's not famous or anything, but he squirts from the oil tube onto
thing. Aubrey Williams, heraldry at York, is certainly one of them, as is Aubrey Williams, York Minster.
Huh. Are they by any chance in or around the archive you work?
They're in the art collection, yes.
One of them was recently unrolled, as I understand.
Yes.
They're definitely that, yeah. But you mean like ones that are on your card?
Ones that are very famous, that almost everyone...
Sunflowers, Van Gogh, is that an impasto?
Van Gogh's Starry Night, certainly is an impasto. And Claude Monet's Water Lilies.
Ah, right, yes.
And I saw Sunflowers the other day, actually, the real artwork.
Sure one, yeah.
Me and a friend were bored in Trafalgar Square, and then we realised, just a sec, the National Gallery's right there, why don't we go in it?
And you thought you'd give a pigeon a nice afternoon out and just took it to the gallery.
I really did.
When it sees a picture you really like, when you pull it away, its head stays in front of the picture and its body comes with it.
Yes, impasto is the art technique where paint is applied so thickly it stands out from the canvas. Your next answer is platypus.
Oh,
what is the question?
Platypus, dear platypus. I can't remember the rest of the poem. A duck billed or other? Is there another kind of platypus?
I mean,
no, it's just the one.
It was weird that they call it duck billed then, as if it's to
differentiate
it from any other platypus.
No, maybe I'm wrong.
If it was a smorgasbord of puss, would that be a platypus?
The platypus, sometimes referred to as the duck-billed platypus.
So it's one, there is just a, one it's thing. Quite cruel just, that yeah. they really really pointed
but
out his schnoz.
Then again, you come across one of those for the first time, you look at it, no way, this has got to be its own thing, there must be 16 other types.
I suppose, yeah, you say...
Get
well,
a genus ready for yeah. it.
Now, we're along the right lines with that.
Are we?
Mm.
Oh, is that because they thought it was related to a duck? Isn't that... Wasn't? There's something stupid about what they thought of duck-billed
platypus. They didn't believe
it. Yeah.
Yes, an egg-laying, duck-billed, beaver-tailed, otter-footed mammal.
Yeah.
At first baffled European naturalists.
Yeah, because someone will describe it and they'll say,
That's not real. Doesn't fit in any of the brackets.
Yeah, he goes, right, I'm going to go get one. Mm. And he knocks it on the head with a rifle, but brings it back. And they go, well, you just stuck bits together, haven't you? You've just got the face of a duck, tail of a beaver, and make out it lays eggs. Piss off, son.
I have frog, tail of newt.
Yeah, like those Victorian...
Mermaids.
Mermaids.
Wait, when did they find them?
The first scientist to examine a preserved platypus body judged it a fake in 1799.
Excellent. So that's around the time, probably a bit after, when you were getting European artists drawing what an explorer explained what a crocodile looked like, and you end up with something hilarious. So I want to see what an original drawing of a platypus looks like from description
only. Good news,
it
is out of copyright because it was made in 1799, so we can indeed show that to you.
It's not far off.
That's actually all right.
It's not that far off.
They found someone that could draw rather than someone that owned a pen.
A medieval drawing of an elephant, that kind of thing.
Where it's
like a fat pig with a long nose.
Yeah, our illustration there from the first scientific description in 1799.
That's surprisingly good. Mm.
Do they do something else weird, platypuses?
They're poisonous.
That's what I'm trying to remember.
The one extra curveball nobody thinks of. They've got a poisoned barb.
Yes, I knew there was something like, oh, ain't they cute? Don't touch it!
Yeah.
That's why he also calls someone down the street called Barbara, he don't want to mess with.
Yeah, no, she's toxic, man.
Poison barb.
Now, is that poisonous or venomous? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Because it would technically be venomous, wouldn't it? Yes.
I don't know.
Poisonous is if it's bad for you if you eat it.
Right.
Venomous is...
if it's an attack mechanism.
But weirdly, venomous means they inject poison, basically. Is it
active versus passive?
Meanwhile, in the corner, please, someone find an antidote.
We're all going, actually, I think
you'll find. No, no, the worst possible pedantry there, Chris. I apologise.
Please, I'm cold.
Shut up.
My arm burns.
They also have electrolocation.
Oh, really? Yes, I knew there was weird things about platypuses. Yep. Yeah,
and biofluorescence.
No,
I didn't know that one.
Yep,
they are such a brilliantly evolutionary weird alleyway, aren't they? Like, let's give it all the superpowers.
It's a one-armed bandit animal creation machine, and when you get one of everything, and you normally lose, this one spat out a platypus.
Greater than the sum of its parts.
But I guess the venomous element to it means that's why they exist. Right, they're such a weird animal that really they should have been like...
Looks like a flapping mess, but it's effectively its radar detected you and then stabbed you before you've even...
It's basically like if the dodo had shotguns attached to it.
Oh!
A fully armed dodo.
Very early on, Chris, you're right, it's the sole living representative of its family and of its genus.
Monotremes.
Monotremes is the category we're looking for. Along with what?
Koalas or something? No, they're marsupials.
You did say that to the tune of Goldfinger.
Koalas. Wider than a mile.
Monotremes are egg-laying mammals.
So it's an egg-laying mammal where there's only one of them.
There are two. There's the platypuses and then there is another category.
Is
it beavers, the wet ones?
No. Again, kind of in the... vaguely the right area.
It's a wet mammal, though, isn't it?
It's a wet mammal. And I think you'll get it if I mention Sonic the Hedgehog at you.
Is it a hedgehog?
Is it a hedgehog?
No.
Is it echidna?
Echidna!
Yeah. Yes.
What? Echidna. The cuter equivalent of a hedgehog.
The spiny anteater, they're otherwise known as.
What a name!
The only living mammals that lay eggs and the only surviving members of the order Monotremata.
And what if the spiny anteaters... and the platypuses joined together.
Yeah, that would be truly everything then.
Sometimes I look at these cards and I'm like, Dan, our question writer, knows as well. Who was so fascinated by platypuses that Australia sent him six of them by boat?
Darwin?
Michael Parkinson.
Honestly, in date, you kind of between the two.
Bob Monkhouse.
Australia sent him six platypuses during the Second World War by boat, despite the long journey and danger of the ship being sunk.
Churchill.
Yes. Winston Churchill was so fascinated by platypuses that Australia sent him some as a gift.
Send me your war beavers.
At the end of that show, congratulations, Gary. Oh, you win this one. You win a ground-based telescope that only focuses on members of the Conservative Party.
An observatory?
Correct!
That's been our show. I've been Tom Scott. That's been Chris Joel.
Good evening.
That's been Gary Brannan.
I don't have a hand action for you. You're just getting this sentence.
Matt Gray, and we'll see you next time.